Well, a very happy third Sunday of Advent to you all. I'd like to say a happy Christmas, but I can't bring myself to do it. So, as you've already picked up, if you haven't already picked this up, I hope you had a nice sleep, but we are thinking this morning about this idea of keeping calm. We very much didn't want this to be too negative, but we recognize that Christmas does generate a certain amount of stress and anxiety in people, and all of this research and statistics that are done of how people feel after Christmas do point to the fact that for a significant number of people, it is quite a difficult and demanding time of year. So we wanted to do something that was kind of offering a little bit of help and acknowledgement of that, and Liz has been great, and Marianne and others are fantastic. But wouldn't it be great if we could just have something which just kind of changed us like that, or maybe like this.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you have the little book of calm? I need the little book of calm. Do you have it? I need it. I'm late for work. Calm.
Is this it?
No. It's too big. Too big. Just a little. Just more.
This one?
What? No. Calm. The little book of calm. The little one.
This?
That's the one. Yes.
All right.
Money.
How much? 250.
$2.50.
I'll just get you a bag.
No bag. No, I don't need a bag. Just a book. The book.
I'll do your receipt.
No, I don't need a receipt. That's fine.
Broken. I'll have to write one out.
Please.
Little.
Look, I'll do it.
Off.
Calm.
$2.50.
Thank you. Look, stroke of, no, trifle, eat a trifle, no, let go once in a while. You are a loose lily floating down an amber river. Sorry, I hate my job.
Visualize the ocean. Oh, calm ocean, isn't it?
Right, come on, we've got to get Friday's invoices in.
Okay, yeah. Here I come.
What is it?
Ah, Mr. Bianco, I'm back with us at last. There's been a complication. You see, we went in to remove the book, and, in medical terms, it's gone. To put it another way, it's not there. Now, I don't know how this could have happened. The only explanation is that somehow you assimilated it into your system overnight, which is, of course, impossible. How do you feel, by the way?
Add a drop of lavender to your bath, and soon you will soak yourself calm.
I'm sorry?
If you want to feel calm, eat more raw fruit and vegetables, yogurt, milk, and seeds.
Maybe I should let you get some rest.
When you rest, you are a king surveying your estate. Look at the woodland, the peacocks on the lawn. Be the king of your own calm kingdom.
Yes.
Well, maybe we think it'd be lovely if we could just have a kind of something which we just swallow, a kind of a calm pill, or maybe swallowing the book is a bit extreme, but maybe that would be something that we could do with at some point over Christmas. But the Bible is very honest about the fact that we may find life stretching, we may find life demanding, we may get hassled and stressed by life. And there's a lovely thing that Jesus once said to people who experience life in that way. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus didn't recommend we swallow the book, but he did recommend that we come to him when we're in that place of anxiety and stress and pressure. And he uses the image of the yoke, and I will resist any any cleverness with that word. You know what a yoke is, I imagine. A yoke is something like that that binds together typically two animals who then work side by side. And Jesus' idea is that we kind of live life yoked to something. We kind of have learned how to live life by walking alongside others who somehow have taught us how to be a human being, how to live life. What stresses us is probably a result of something that somebody else has taught us should stress us. And the idea is, in Jesus' day, that he looked around and he saw that people were incredibly stressed by the religious expectation that they lived under in their day, because it was a very religious society in their day. And Jesus looked around and he saw that the religion of the day, the Judaism that everybody he was speaking to was part of, placed incredible demands on people's lives. Demands that were so big they just couldn't ever live up to them. In fact, it's been reckoned that they were yoked to 613 laws, 365 negative commands, and 248 positive laws. Now, that's enough to drive anyone nuts. If every day you get up and you think, somehow today I've got to be true to all of this if I'm going to be on the right side of God. And no one wants to go to bed at night on the wrong side of God, so the challenge is, how do I live today keeping these 613 laws? And it drove people nuts. It made people feel they'd failed. It made people feel guilty. It made people feel that actually they weren't cracking it as a human being, because it was defined, human being was defined in those days like this. This is how you live up to being a good, perfect, full, whole human being. Keep these laws and you'll be fine. But it was impossible. Like having a perfect Christmas is impossible. It was kind of setting everyone up to fail. And yet they were yoked to this. This was where they lived their lives. This is what they walked alongside every day. This is what kind of held them in place as a human being. The expectation that you could live like this and you should live like this, but actually deep down inside now, you couldn't live like this. It was impossible to live like this. So Jesus said, listen, if you're yoked to that kind of expectation, you're always going to be weary and disappointed and sad. I've got a better offer. But it occurred to me that even those of us that live lives in the more recent world, i.e. this one, we've spent our lives yoked to people or to circumstances that have shaped us and taught us how to be human, what to expect out of life, who we are. I was, like all of you, in the very early days of my life. There we go. Can you see the likeness? I was yoked to my parents. And you know, parents do a fantastic job. A lot of you are parents, and you've all had parents. And you may reflect on your own parents in the way that I do, that they were good people. They meant to do good. But sometimes, somehow, without ever meaning to, they taught me stuff that really wasn't that helpful. They taught me to be afraid of certain things. They taught me perhaps things about myself that perhaps weren't entirely, they didn't mean to. They didn't wake up in the morning and think, today we're going to ruin David's life. And in fact, they didn't ruin my life. But in fact, they did also put into things. I was yoked to them for years and years, those formative years of growing up. I was yoked to my parents, and bless them, they did a fantastic job, and I'm grateful for them. But they did put things into me that it's taken me quite a long time to get out of me again. Then I got a little bit older, and I went to school. And I was yoked to education. Now, that is not me, but if a photograph had been taken of me, that could have been me. Same trousers, same shoes, same cap, and same satchel. I loved that satchel. It smelled of real leather, because it was real leather. I loved that satchel. I would love a satchel. If anyone's not got my Christmas present yet, thinking about it now, it ought to be on the list. Anyway. I was yoked to education. If you were here a few weeks ago and you heard me reading my school reports, you'll know that for me, education wasn't a fantastically positive experience. Education taught me one big lesson. I wasn't very good at anything. That's why I left school believing that actually I'd failed. I was yoked to this education system for years and years of my life. There was no way out. I was lashed to it, locked into it, and most of it I hated. And I learned, actually, that I wasn't up to much. And that nobody thought that well of me. Now, whether they did or didn't, I don't know, but that's the impression they gave. And certainly the marks endorsed that I wasn't very good at anything. And I was yoked to that. And you kind of carry that forward into life. And it stresses you out. And you've, no, I don't want you to feel sorry for me this morning. But looking at your faces, I'm knowing that some of you are identifying with what it feels like to be. Of course, I just looked at Bertie. And we've got some fantastic teachers in this church. And none of you would do this to any of your children, I know. I'm talking about a long time ago when education was proper. And it was... And it was set up to teach people, the majority of children, what they were not good at. And it succeeded. Then I got a bit older, and I left school and went off to college, and I locked myself into culture. I had money, I had freedom, I had no parents and no education system. Well, I was at college, but that didn't really count. It wasn't like education at all. It's kind of do what you want. And Hampshire County Council gave me money to go to London and live for 3 years. And if I hadn't met my wife while I was there, goodness knows how I'd have ended up at the end of those 3 years. She was my redeeming factor at that point in my life, I think. But anyway, I locked myself into the way that everybody else was living. In London, with money in your pockets. Well, some money. It was a student grant. It wasn't that much money, but there was some money. And those jeans, if you're interested, did come from Carnaby Street. Oh, yes. I've never been accused of being cool, ever, but that's the closest I've come. Now it just looks stupid. But in those days, believe it or not, I locked myself into just the way that everybody else was living. I got sucked into it. I wanted to be like that. I yoked myself to the way that everybody else was doing it. And to be truthful, some of it was great fun, and some of it just left me feeling empty and miserable and guilty. It wasn't a great thing to be yoked to, actually. It left me feeling drained and tired. And then I got into the world of work. And there we go. Working as a teacher. I wanted to get my own back. Isn't that bizarre? And wanting to, and getting sucked into the world of work and all of that, you know, sort of ambition and being head of department and trying to get on and trying to do things. And I yoked myself to the expectations of what it meant to be a teacher in a school. And I just gave myself to it. I lashed myself to it. And I got exhausted by it. And it wore me down. It wasn't a great yoke to carry. And using this metaphor that Jesus gives us, I think a lot of us live our lives yoked to things. Either other people have tied us to it, or we've tied ourselves to it, and we just live life kind of trying to make sense of life by walking along step by step with work or with culture or with the words that parents have put on our lives or the words that teachers have put on our lives, and we've kind of become worn down by it. So isn't it refreshing when Jesus says there is an alternative? Yes, you've got to work. Yes, you've got to have education. Of course, you've got parents, but there's an alternative. You don't have to be yoked to those things. You can tie your life to me. And that will transform the way that you do your work. You think of your parenting. You think of your education and so on. You can transform the other things in life. You don't have to be yoked to them. They don't have to become burdensome. You can be free from them. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, when those other yokes have just pressed you down and left you feeling drained and under-resourced and I've got nothing left to give and I don't even know who I am and I don't like myself anyway, when all of that's pressing in you, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart and you will find rest for your souls. Wouldn't that be great? Without having to swallow a little book of calm, you can find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's still a yoke. There's still an expectation that we will now walk, not tied onto the words, negative words of others or the negative expectations or the impossible demands, but we will now live our lives yoked to Jesus Christ. We will listen to him first. We will pay attention to what he wants. We will allow his wisdom to shape our lives. We will learn our values from him. We will learn our self-appreciation from him. We will actually walk our life with him, as many, many, many of you in this room do, I know. That's what's on offer. That's what Advent and Christmas is all about. It's about the coming of the Prince of Peace, who invites us all to yoke our lives to him. Here's a lady who did just that. not so very long ago.
I'd spent all of my life, really, worrying about appearances and just trying to cover up what I thought were the bad things and the difficult things from my past. When I was on Christianity Explored, I realised that Jesus was a real person and he could see me and he could know me and all he knew everything. And he loved me. And it was just so different and such a relief. And when you know that, like knowing that, I knew that I had to choose either to accept what Jesus was saying about him being the way and the truth and just give my life to him and follow him and read the Bible and learn more about what he wanted for me in my life. I couldn't ignore it anymore. So that means that I can really live my life openly. I'm not defensive all the time. I'm not so worried, do people like me, do they not like me? I can just accept that some people will, some people won't. Some things I'll do really well, and some things I won't. I'm able to just be more genuinely who I am, even though I know some of that is not very good. And, and I'm still loved.
Very short testimony to somebody who has recently come to know Jesus as a real person and yoked their lives to him and began to experience freedom and peace they hadn't known before. So how do you do that, just as I close? Just four things to embrace that yoke of Jesus. Firstly, you need to stop. We all need to stop. We need to stop and say, actually, do I like the life I'm living? Do the things that I've yoked my life to actually make me a whole, happy, peaceful human being? We need to stop and reflect and just think, am I amongst those, whatever the outward world reads off my face, in my heart, who knows I'm weary and burdened? Secondly, we need to turn. We need to turn away from the way we have been living and turn towards Jesus Christ. Come to me, he says. Stop heading headlong after what you were heading off. Just pause. Just put a brakes on. Come to me. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Come to me. And that's the beginning of a life of following. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. When someone comes to Christ, what they're saying is not just at this moment I'm fed up, can you make me unfed up? But saying, actually, for the rest of my life, I want to walk with you because I recognize in you there's some wisdom for living that I haven't got from any other yoke that I've carried. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And fourthly, it's about receiving. Jesus said he'll give you something. It's not about striving to be religious and keeping 600 odd laws before breakfast every Sunday morning. It's about receiving what only God can give through the Holy Spirit. I will give you rest for your souls. I'm going to invite us all just to bow our heads for a moment and to, as the music team come back, just pray a little prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if these words are words you want to say, then just say amen in your own heart. Dear God, I want to know your peace in my life. I want to stop living apart from you and start living with you. I choose to turn away from anything but what you want for my life. I'm sorry for the mistakes I've made. Please forgive me. As I set out to follow you, Jesus, I receive your Spirit to help me and to give me a new life. Amen. Just while our heads are bowed, is there anybody here that's perhaps for the first time thinking about coming to Jesus, thinking about walking with him, thinking about chucking off those old yokes that have hurt and harmed, then just say another amen in your heart. That's what I want this morning. And if you've just said that second amen in your heart, then can I just ask, before you go this morning, you come and talk to me or one of the others you've seen at the front of the meeting or a friend that brought you along, and just said, I pray that prayer, it's for me. I want to know the peace of Jesus in my heart this Christmas, the best Christmas present I could have. I'm weary and heavy laden, and I want to know the Prince of Peace personally.